Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat. They got great meat.
Dirt and Spray.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Spray here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your weekends were great. We've had a lot of fun on the show today.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
If you, I dropped that, by the way, this weekend.
Yeah, jeez, oh, Pete's while you're putting your fence in?
Building the fence, yeah. Doing something. I was like, really?
Did you try one of these two?
We want your Pete.
Nope.
Didn't do that one.
But nope. I did just drop a clean.
Hippa!
Jeez, oh, Pete. And I did drop a couple. Hippa!
I've taught the kiddo that. We have this new game that he's discovered. We got these, like, things that suction together. They're like little toys. You can build stuff, and they suction together. Okay. But if you throw them out the window, they suction to the window. So now we have a new game in our living room. We'll just sit there for like 15 minutes hucking these things at the window. And every time I get one to stick, it's probably about a 10% clip because you got to get it right. It's got to hit right and all that. Every time one sticks to the window, we go,
Hey-pa!
The kiddo, Teddy, Hey-pa! It's pretty fun. Quick question for you.
If you get caught in a brothel sting, what do you want me to say on air about it? In the event it happens, Andy Johnson caught with hooker.
When's this going to happen? Is it happening soon? Am I like 57? Are my kids moved out?
You're 46.
Okay. So about 9 years from now?
You just randomly caught with a hooker and a bunch of lube. What do you want me to say? Well, I mean, you're possessing criminal tools.
Is the lube my criminal tool?
I would say in some instances it probably feels criminal.
Should we do that as a poll question today? Is lube a criminal tool?
Yeah.
Is that a count he's here for Jed York?
I mean, in this instance.
What a morning, dude. Jed York getting arrested and Deshaun Watson being named the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. It's been a hell of a morning in the NFL.
Back to the question.
That's a great
And there's
I
like
don't
a
know.
Mugshot of you. You're disheveled.
There's
your
nothing
hair.
You can. At that point, I can't deny it. I'm in prison.
Well,
I
know.
I got
what do
booked,
you want me to say publicly
Dano?
About it? I couldn't ignore it. Yeah, guys. My co-host is not here today. Because he was caught with a hooker.
Here's what I'll say. If that were to happen to me, I'm sure my personal life is falling apart at that moment. I don't see things going well after I get out of prison. But you know what? I will allow you. I will grant you the ability to make fun of me because it's hilarious. Getting caught in a sting, like not knowing, being there. And
it's hilarious?
I think it's the visual of it. Like think about Jed York laying on a massage table. He's getting worked on. And then all of a sudden you just, FBI! And they come running. And he's just, you're in there naked.
Your stomach is
You got hot oils. Hot oils on your chest.
That is like, Tower of Terror level stomach.
There's wax. What do you do? Ah! You jump up. You got to grab your towel and cover up. Like it's, the visual of that is hilarious to me.
So I hope there's no cameras released.
I grant you the ability to make fun of me.
It's like candle wax on his nipples. It's not what it looks like.
I just hope my traps look good in the mugshot.
What's well, more, your hair?
Kind of flex out. Oh, the hair would look
Maybe
so bad.
Maybe you're growing
dude.
The hair out.
The hair would look so bad. I can't not wear a hat anymore. I'm too bald. It's going too far back.
I don't know.
I'm
like
too ashamed in public to not wear a hat.
If you are caught in an instance like this, like what is John Lynch going to say today? What's Kyle Shanahan going to say?
You know, we're going to let the legal process play out. We got no comment at this time.
Yeah, that's probably what
that's
they do
all
say.
That's all you're going to do.
I guess,
I'm
here
to talk about tomorrow, not yesterday. We're looking forward to opening with the Rams in Australia.
And then we'd have to have the uncomfortable conversation of, like, you coming back on the show.
Yeah. I wasn't there for that. I just happened to be there. Get my calves worked on.
Andy, welcome back. The floor is yours, whatever you want to say.
Do I fake some tears?
I don't think you can fake it.
It's such a trying time. Now, I will say a hooker is a little bit different.
The I love my wife line would definitely get dropped.
Should I just do what Vrabel's done?
Never
acknowledge the mistake, but not acknowledge the mistake.
Right. Dance
I'm working through personal things, but not act like I cheated on my wife for 5 years with Diana Rossini.
Even though she got fired for the obvious reason. You've been caught while she was pregnant loading a boat with her.
Oh, good stuff.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
Jed York, stay classy, my friend. It's been a hell of a morning in the National Football League.
By the way, he's got family in Ohio, so that's why he was back at East Palestine.
You're just visiting family and you can't avoid a massage parlor? that traffics humans. Again, we don't know that. Allegedly. We'll wait and see.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Bottle of lube in his pocket. Go have a good time in East Palestine. Over the weekend, did anybody do a bigger sigh of relief potentially than Raider fans who thought maybe Ashton Jeanty was out for the year and then came out with a sprained ankle?
I mean, sprained ankle's not nothing
it's still
for a running back.
Something now. How long is he going to be out and all that? We're still waiting to see, right? A couple of weeks, maybe, potentially.
Did you see the guy that took him first in the fantasy draft, by the way?
I did, and I know that he became
Why are people having fantasy drafts right now?
It's a great question.
What do you mean?
Wait till the preseason's over, I think is his argument.
Why don't you wait till the preseason's over and
Don't all the drafts happen now?
No, you can do it all the way up to the start of the season.
We're doing ours the night before the Seahawks opener.
Yeah.
Wow.
You set your lineup the next day. There
the
you go.
The league I was in for 2 years, I feel like, was around right now.
Well, it's this point exactly that I drafted. I don't know about Jeanty 1, but Jeanty's going relatively high. I would think running backs usually do. And then he gets hurt. I don't know.
I don't know if he's in my top 15 players I draft.
With
my first pick?
I'm also not good at...
The Raiders?
I know. I get it. I'm also not good at... Like, would it be shocking if he has a good year and scores a bunch of touchdowns? I mean, like,
would you rather have Matt Stafford and what his season was, or Ashton Jeanty?
Well, you know me. I'd rather have the quarterback. I think it's more reliable to trust on a guy like that.
I tend to agree with you.
Back has been an issue. Yeah. I'll throw one at you because nobody would allow. This is why I don't criticize. Yeah, James Cook.
He was good last year.
He was fantastic. I don't like criticizing drafts because if you go back 1 year from now, and where we were talking about fantasy drafts, if I told you I was taking Saquon Barkley number one overall, what would you say? Have to, right? You had 2,000 yards, 13 rushing touchdowns.
But I would also, as somebody who had him on my team 2 years ago when he was the MVP or the offensive player of the year.
Right.
And then last year.
His yards were cut in half. He played 16 games.
I fully expected him to drop off. Now he was dropping off
to that level
way harder.
He went from 6 yards a carry to 2,000 yards to 1,100 yards, and he didn't get banged up.
He didn't do anything for me last year.
Couldn't do squat last year. And so I get the jokey nature, and then he gets hurt on top of it. So that video went viral, and everybody punched down at that guy. You just never know in the NFL, man. How many years did Christian McCaffrey have where he was the number one pick during his time in Carolina and he'd be out for the year? Like, it just, dude, it's a roll of the dice. So would I have taken Jeanty number one overall? No.
Mm.
But it does seem like they dodged a bit of a bullet. To your point, we don't know. The ankle sprain is still a big, significant injury. We don't know how long it's officially going to be. But it does seem like they were spared maybe the biggest concern that they potentially had and how bad things could possibly get. Elsewhere in the injury news in the National Football League, one was as bad as we thought it would, and any hope of him returning in the back half of the year, which was speculated late in the week, is now out of the window, and that is Tyler Biadasz of the Chargers has been put on season-ending IR. And so their center, there was already a clip that went viral from their preseason game. Now, it was only one series for Herbert, and I think he threw the ball twice. He only played three plays. But there was like four reps in a row where their guy who are they slotting now at right guard just got absolutely obliterated.
Well, because their original pick was a center moved to guard, and now he's back to center.
Now he's back to center, and so now you got somebody else who's got to play guard. And he was just getting lit up like a Christmas tree. And so you hope that the tackles stay healthy, and that will stabilize things a little bit up front. But losing your center, who was your big offseason acquisition, that's a brutal blow. And for the Chargers, it's kind of just more of the same of what they've gone through the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Chargers coming in with a lot of expectations and pressure. And when you bring an offensive guru in to kind of make the offense the thing that leads the team and not so much just rely on defense, losing a starting center before your season starts is beyond devastating.
Yeah.
And if they lose Slater or Alt, I don't know how Jim Harbaugh is going to handle it. Because to lose one of them again...
To go through the same thing you went through last year.
Which sometimes guys develop reputations and it sucks for them, but like, Slater already got banged up in camp.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that is him getting hurt or is that they're just like monitoring or managing the injury.
That's what I'm saying. It's like maybe it's not that serious and maybe he won't have an injury reputation.
He didn't practice for like a week and a half and it was the same time Biadasz went down.
The funny thing is people have been doing this to Christian McCaffrey for a couple years now of like, and I've done it. I've been waiting for the injury.
No way he stays healthy. He's got calf issues in camp. No
exactly.
way.
Calf soreness. Right. And then he gets 400 touches and you're like, okay. Everything's all right.
Well, I guess that went okay. So brutal news for the Chargers. Raiders maybe dodged a bullet. I continue to go back to, and I am just baffled by the idea. I have not been able to wrap my head around. I think it was about 2 hours ago we found out. I can't even begin to process how I would feel as a Browns fan right now finding out that Deshaun Watson's going to be my starting quarterback. Like, even if I ask you to make the argument.
Swag, that, you should look up. Can you look up 92.3 The Fan on Twitter and see if they have a reaction video to that?
There's got
to
be somebody yelling.
And that would have been about, what, an hour or 2 hours ago.
It was right as we were getting into the cafe.
7
right
a.m.
7 a.m.
Yeah.
this morning.
We weren't able to get any live reaction, but they have to have had somebody gone off. Look, you can say financially it makes the most sense. We had one of our listeners, Jeff, point out that, like, the highest, you know, payout is Tua. And I get it. It's $86 million. Dude, Haslam doesn't have Giannis.
I don't care.
And you're worth billions of dollars. Like, it's, I don't care. Like, you cannot have this guy as a part of your franchise. And this is an obvious middle finger. Those fans, they're not going to. I wish they'd collectively boycott. Like, could you imagine seeing a Browns game on TV?
Why would you pay?
And there's like 1,000 people at the game.
It'd be fantastic.
I would love for them to say, we're done with you.
Yes.
Do what you need to do to get us back. You know what that takes.
Right.
That's how you talk to these guys, because they don't care that a caller calls in and goes off
no.
or a host has an opinion.
Are they making money and selling tickets?
Exactly.
And the answer is yes, because people love football in Cleveland.
You don't even have to like Shadur. You easily go to Shadur in this instance over Deshaun Watson.
Dude, I'm not high on Shadur Sanders in any way, shape, or form as an NFL quarterback. Do I think he'll ever turn into a prolific starter in the league? Absolutely not. I would start him in a heartbeat over Deshaun Watson.
He looked far and away more functional against Buffalo.
It's not even close.
Than Deshaun did.
And he played in the first half, and Deshaun played in the second half. So you can say there's worse players around Deshaun. I don't care. He's an established vet. Like, you should be able to dominate preseason football against backups on the other side. We don't do this, but in the modern sports media culture, there's a lot of, like, I'm going to manufacture this argument. All right, before the show, you're going to be on this side, I'm going to be on that side. Let's go back and forth.
Right.
Make compelling content. If I hired you to do First Take, you're on First Take today with Stephen A. Smith, and I say, Brandon Sprague, your job today is defend Deshaun Watson starting in Cleveland. Where do you even go?
Well, I think Stephen A. did do it once, and that's making the rounds again.
Of course he is.
I wouldn't. I'd refuse.
You can't do it.
I'd say, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, you can stretch an opinion you have far. You can say, like, you know what? I will defend Ashton Jeanty. Ashton Jeanty this year, I think, is going to be in the top four in rushing yards.
Right.
And he's going to be in the top four in touchdowns for running backs. You can do that. You can go extreme with it. And I don't even know how extreme that is. It's entirely different to really justify Deshaun Watson being a starting quarterback. He's been terrible.
He's been so bad,
before the
man.
Achilles, yeah. After the Achilles, it's ugly, man.
If I'm a Browns fan, this is frustrating. Like, my baseball team deals with this from time to time, where there's not a real sense of urgency from the ownership to do anything. But one of the reasons why is that they have this, like, historic, beautiful landmark ballpark that 3 million people come to every baseball season. And so it's not sold out every night, but there's butts in the seats on more nights than there's not. And it's a real angering thing for a lot of passionate fans who don't use it as a night out or a social gathering. And they're like, dude, we need to hold these people accountable. Why are we still packing this place?
That's a big tourist spot,
right?
Too.
We need to send a message, right? And that just doesn't happen. This is the greatest argument for any fan base ever. They booed him during that game. They booed him when he tore his Achilles. He came out after the game. We'll play it again.
He also said Friday, by the way, I don't care about being booed. He was asked about it, and he said, no, it doesn't bother me. And then he got booed, and then guess what bothered him?
Man, I didn't have no reaction. I think the biggest thing is, I think you guys know too, and I think the whole world knows, it has nothing to do about the performance. It's a little bit personal than that. So I think that's it's a disrespectful thing. I'm going to keep whatever I feel with me and my family internally on how I feel about that. Just move on.
But don't you think, Deshaun, that winning and playing better would eliminate some of that booing?
Last time I played on this field, I tore my Achilles. And that same fan base, they cheered when I got hurt. So does that have to do with, what does that have to do with anything about performance? When a person get hurt, especially for your own city, and they cheer.
You'd have to really be hard-pressed to find. This is one of, we knew the contract was bad. This is one of the biggest downfalls of an athlete.
Ever.
That hasn't committed, he's going to prison for life. What I mean? Like, he hasn't had a
Aaron Hernandez.
Exactly. Something like that. But he's got the off-field stuff, which is already ugly enough. Enes Kanter wants to show up to a WNBA game. instead of showing up to Cleveland, Ohio and protesting that guy being a starting quarterback in the league, but he stands up for women. And then you pair that with like him acting like he's some big savior to a city. The city never wanted him.
Never did, yeah.
They chose him over Baker. Baker's gone on to have a pretty nice little run. This guy literally can't. He doesn't like to play football anymore.
And four seasons in Cleveland, I think he's played 19 games.
I think once this is done, I think his league run is done, dude.
Nobody's giving him another chance.
I don't think we hear from him. You found something from the fans.
Okay, so this is shortly after the announcement on Cleveland. So the show is Talking Heads. Oh, okay. It's their early morning show.
Good name for a show.
It is. And this was their initial thought about the decision, and that it said more about what they feel about Shedeur Sanders than Deshaun Watson.
Today's decision, it screams to me, they don't think he's the guy either. Because if they thought he had a real chance to be the guy, he'd be the starter right now. You know, forget 2026. Think about 2027. If they thought he was the guy, wouldn't you want him to get as much playing time as you possibly could so that you can be sure? And they have a huge franchise decision coming up.
Is this double down bad for Sanders?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
They've said that you're not ready to play, and we're willing to play this guy that just aggravated the entire fan base.
Two of the four.
And didn't look good on Saturday.
Two of the four quarterbacks might be on this team next year. And I would say the best chance of those quarterbacks to be on this team next year, Dylan Gabriel and Taylen Green.
That's the take?
If I were a Cleveland fan, I would have been done a while ago. This would be, I would hope, the straw that breaks the camel's back. Sometimes there needs to be an organizational decision. I don't disagree with necessarily the point, right? Like, if they had hope that Shedeur Sanders could become a guy, you would think that they would want to play him. I don't think that they think that about him, and that's part of the problem here.
Well, he's drafted after Dylan
Gabriel.
He's
a fifth-round pick. It's not going to happen, man. We're not going to make Fetch a thing. His on-field interview was great, by the way, during their game. I watched the whole 7 minutes of it.
I think he could be in the league for a while.
He's a funny personality. Yeah. People think it's a personal thing. Like, I don't care, dude. Oregon, whoop, Colorado, whatever. He's just not that. He's not that level of quarterback in the NFL in my mind. This is one where you need to throw a bone to your fan base. No pun intended. If you're a Cleveland Browns fan, who would you rather watch start the opener?
Yeah.
It's not even a debate. Like, I don't think Shedeur Sanders is any good. I'd much rather watch him suck. You know why? Because Deshaun Watson's going to suck.
Right.
They both suck.
Right.
It's just a different version of suck. And we all know that the Browns next year are going to do what in the draft? No matter who the quarterback is this year, what are they going to do?
They're going to pick a quarterback.
They're taking a quarterback because they're going to suck this year. They're going to have a top five pick.
Dante goes to Cleveland. And Watson's back because they still didn't financially want to buy him out.
It just is unbelievable. Like, this is one, after everything that was said this weekend, everything that transpired, him trying to act like he's been some saint in the community, as if anybody in Cleveland wanted him, or our on-field performance has nothing to do with this. It's one of the most tone-deaf statements I've ever heard from an athlete. That's the moment as an organization that I take that decision out of my coach's hands and I say, we're throwing a bone to the fans. Deshaun, you're gone. $127 million. I don't care. I'm good for it. We're eating the money. We blow this year anyways. Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Gabriel, go suck it up. We'll take a quarterback next year in the draft. This is such an easy solution.
Or just give it to Taylen Green and let me
or
be
just,
right.
What the hell, dude? I'd rather watch Taylen Green start from this year than if I'm a Browns fan than Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Shocking stuff over the weekend. I thought we all... 24 hours ago, I would have told you I thought Deshaun's going to get cut. Now he's the starting quarterback of the
You thought they were really going to eat the money?
After the comments and how ugly that was, and Monken coming out and being like, dude, if you don't want to get booed, play better. Like, yeah, I felt like that was heading for an exit. And he almost feels like he's going Costanza. Like, he's trying to get out of there. He doesn't want to be there anymore.
He hates them.
They despise him in Cleveland.
Real quick, think about this. Who is the athlete that comes the closest? Who's the next athlete? The fan base hates this guy on their team.
Oh, that's a great question.
Because he's easily number one in all of sport.
That is a great question.
Who is the next one? Think about that one.
Deshaun, the starter in Cleveland. There's a little bit leftovers in the National Football League from the weekend. I got a couple more NFL things in the notes we'll get to. Also, a complaint from one college program that seems a little hypocritical, and I'll explain that a little bit more. Loaded Final Hour continues next on The Fam. All right, welcome back in. 9:29. To the question of Deshaun Watson and hating him to that level.
Find another athlete that isn't that level.
Nothing
will
touch that.
Who's the sports fans that hate the athlete on their team?
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Who's number one for the Blazers in your lifetime?
It's probably Ray Felton.
Is it Ray Felton?
Rashid at the end wasn't great, and Bonzi was.
You can't put them, though. It's certain, like, they got booed and flipped off the crowd. I get it, but they also... had success here and accomplished
Ray
things.
Felton challenged
Ray
them
Felton.
To a fight.
Yeah.
Show up to my apartment in the Pearl and we'll fight.
Who are our other candidates? Who else is
Ryder.
In the running?
J.R. Ryder's
Ryder.
A great one.
Yeah. Reuben Patterson. I know he was on some of those teams, but
yeah, that's a
talk about legal
one.
Issues playing into it. That's certainly a part of it with Sean Watson. But yeah, Ray Felton probably number one. Yeah, probably still taking the cake. His fast.
Do we have an active second place in sport?
Some of the ones that got texted in, Trevor Bauer when he was pitching, although he's been banned from baseball. He's been blackballed.
Well, he got pretty much sent packing as soon as that came to light.
Yes, nobody will give him
another
sniff.
They didn't linger with that one. That was, oh, see you later.
Another classy signing by the Dodgers. Dylan Brooks.
I don't think they knew he was doing that.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they're cheating. Dylan
Brooks is a lovable villain on your team, but
that's,
definitely don't
team.
Like him. But you've also kind of, you have separated him and your Oregon fandom to a certain degree because he's been somewhat.
I don't claim him,
controversial.
I don't claim
How
him,
did
but.
Grayson Allen feel about, or Duke feel about Grayson Allen when he
Duke
was.
Duke loves him.
I think Duke loves him.
Okay.
That's the hard part with the villains is that you. You kind of like having those guys. Like, if we had Draymond over the years.
But that's not the same.
I know.
Thing,
Deshaun's different because
you know?
He's terrible and he's a horrible person. It's like the worst combination that you can have. It's one thing if you suck, at least if you're a good person, maybe you feel a little bit bad, but he's a horrible person and a horrible football player simultaneously. So that makes him very easy
I'm trying
to hate.
I can't think of one in the NFL. Like, there's not good. There's obviously bad guys in the NFL.
Yes.
A lot
players,
of players.
Yes. Guys who've gotten into legal trouble.
I don't
and all
think Tyreek Hill reached this level at all. He came into the NFL having
never.
Had what he had, and Chiefs fans were like, "Yeah, well, he runs a 4.3 40, and he catches a lot of deep passes."
It's just hard to like of the breaking point for a fan base.
Is Rashee Rice approaching this for Chief fan? Is that fair to ask out loud?
He would if I were a Chiefs fan.
He
of like,
can't stop getting in trouble.
No, and he's also not producing that much on the field because there is a you're an awful person, but you're good at football.
Oh,
sliding
no
scale
it.
That all of us are guilty of things that you're willing to look past and allow to go down and say, well, you know, but, and you have an explainer on the other side of it. Rashee Rice, he can't stay healthy and he's not available. He's not like, he's had flashes and moments, but he's no Tyreek Hill. It's not even in the same conversation.
Right.
That's part of this too. And that's the most laughable thing about Deshaun is that his insinuation that play has nothing to do with this. Dude, if he comes out and starts the season 7-0 and plays like the Deshaun Watson of year 3 in Cleveland when they're in an AFC championship game, everybody will be cheering for him.
Was there a chance that had we made the Anthony Davis trade, this would be our, and it's obviously not the same in terms of like off the court field, but in terms of expectation meets salary meets what you're supposed to be,
durability questions,
like again, not the exact same, so don't try to say I'm competent. What I'm competent is, he comes to Portland, we make that, it's our trade.
Right, that's your offseason move.
And he doesn't play, and then when he does play, it's not as productive as it was when they won the title in L.A. And like, I could see a scenario where we're kind of booing that.
I could see that, yeah, where it doesn't work out for you contractually.
But
it's finding a bloated number.
The sweet spot of why they hate him mixed with the poor performance.
Yeah.
That's a hard one to find, man.
A good question, too. Somebody said, or Pete ones, I'm still trying to figure out what the hell happened to him because he was good. He was really good. How did he just fall off a cliff?
So I think this is just my opinion. I think, one, the shoulder stuff is hard for a lot of quarterbacks. He didn't just suffer Achilles injuries. Two, I really, truly believe he had to sit out while all of that noise started. And I don't care who you are. Some people are, they have a gift of truly not caring about anything. Even the bad people, and I would categorize him as not a great person, I think a lot of that broke him. Can you imagine being the darling of college football?
You win a national championship.
The story of your
Clemson,
life.
Yeah.
You know, getting the house from Warwick done and, oh my God, you won the national championship, you beat Alabama,
right.
And then you go to Houston
Have
and
success.
You're this instant success story, and oh, he is the future of the league. We all thought the same thing about him.
We all did.
And then these reports start coming out, and they trickle out. Then he gets hurt. Now he can't play. He can't silence. All he has to consume is the noise.
Yeah.
He's not breaking film down knowing he's not playing the rest of the season. I think it was a combination of the injuries paired with the off-season noise or the off-the-field noise. I think it just shattered him.
It's wild stuff, man. It's one of the bigger fall-offs we've ever seen from an athlete. I'm with you that that had to just, like, on your mental health, how that would play out. I mean, man.
You can't be, like, one of the highly regarded guys at your position who also, by the way, seemed to be pretty likable and people rooted for, to a pariah attached with disgusting off-field behavior, and now you're a villain.
Yeah, people texting. We got Ray Lewis chimed in. But if you're a Baltimore fan, you love Ray Lewis, dude.
You probably cried when he won the second Super Bowl.
You probably did. You probably still do.
You weren't thinking about the blooded suit when they beat the Niners.
Allegedly. You probably still do the dance when you're walking into a room to watch a Ravens game. Like, that, again, is your sliding scale.
I think a lot of NFL fans, if we're being fair, the little hip thrust at the end of the dance, Michael Jackson move he does.
It's a good little move. It's a good little move.
Yeah. But yes, there's good examples out there.
Another one, Karl Malone. Like, again, Karl Malone's a horrible person. Yes. Horrible person. But Jazz fans love him. It's okay to admit it.
13-year-olds do.
I get it. GP2 getting chimed in. That's a good poll.
Yeah, that's
also
a really good
weird
one.
Nexus for, like, Oregon State fan/Blazer fan who loved him and then hate, like...
Very odd.
I always love picturing those fans of, like, had GP2 been a Duck and that storyline played out with an Oregon player coming to Portland, absolutely railroading us out of stealing money, essentially, refusing to play, the injury stuff. He goes to Golden State.
One of the worst signings, like, by our team in a long time, by the way.
Without a doubt. And he never wanted to be here.
Full mid-level. We traded him at the deadline.
He never played. He never did anything.
No.
And then he backstabs us on the way out as if it was our fault with the injury accusations and all this crap and nonsense. Like, dude, yeah, GP2 can pound sand. That's a good one.
It's fair to flip it. I would say I think more Oregon State fans than not would tell you, yeah, it was a bad position to be in and it sucked. Screw that guy. But thank you to that guy for getting us back to the tournament. You know what I mean? Like, screw that guy.
Our programs are in different spots. I get it. Yeah. Like, Oregon fan is, you know, we've had a few more tournament runs. But I see that point. I see that argument. Ja Morant, if he gets in trouble, like, play that scenario out. If Ja Morant this year gets some...
I mean, that's going to be a tough one.
Getting in some serious trouble and everybody will say, that's why, like...
I also just find the
He'll
fan
become
base,
a villain.
Like, we're never all going to agree on stuff, right?
Ray Felton feels like one of the few ones, and GP2 for sure, that everybody is in unison with.
When your legend or your all-time great athlete steps in it after they play,
yeah,
it's an odd position.
Very, yeah.
You know who's going through this is Urlacher. Who is Cantor's?
I'm just saying, Enes Kanter, somebody said he might be more hated now than Felton because of everything going on.
I mean, let's not get into that asshat. Urlacher's going through this in Chicago because he's dove into some of the political and the police story stuff, and that's not resonated very well with a lot of Bears fans. So, there's like, and you're not going to get universal opinion on all these opinions, but it's always odd, too, when you're legends, like Jazz fans. Jazz fans that believe in science.
That's a hard one.
And love the basketball team. It's been very tough with Karl Malone and, at sometimes, John Stockton.
Yes.
Those were your two dudes.
Those are your guys.
For like 15 years.
For even longer than that. For like 35 years, man. For they were forever.
Yeah.
Played all the way to like 2003. Mm. One little note here before we go to the final segment of the day. I always love when these things come out and people complain and then it's turning out that, like, maybe we should focus on other issues. So this came out. There was a column that came, what article? Omaha.com. And Troy Dannon is the athletic director at Nebraska.
Yeah.
Formerly of Washington, was there for about 4 months and then bounced to Nebraska. And he has a quote in this article of, where is it? Quote, "We are not flirting with the top of the league when it comes to our player support. Whether NIL or revenue share or cumulative dollars, part of our challenge right now is to put us in the same position at the top of the league as we are with facilities and infrastructure and other investments." And on the surface level, you might read that and say, okay, I guess that makes sense, right? Like, I understand it. The funny thing is, because in this article they go through, and none of these numbers are concrete, but like a rough estimate of what the payrolls are for the Big Ten teams in the conference, and them saying we are ninth in the Big Ten, so we're right in the middle, but like, how are we supposed to beat the teams at the top, right? And that's a very reasonable thing to say out loud. I saw this and it made me laugh out loud from our guy Josh Peterson in Omaha. For all the money being put into the program, Nebraska is 9-9 in the Matt Rhule era against teams that they're spending more than.
Ooh.
And they're 0-5 against Minnesota and Iowa, who are they are spending more than. And his entire point being, you're asking us to pony up more so you could beat the teams at the top, but you're already ahead of all these other teams, and you can't beat the teams below you.
I forget the context, but that that meme with the guy who I think is at a UN meeting and he's taking the headphones off.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's me right now hearing that.
We need more money.
Can you imagine losing?
We're ninth in the Big Ten. We need more money. Dude, you're 500 against teams below you. So what's the more money going to do? It just everybody loves to complain about this.
Why did they extend him?
I don't.
Why did they extend him?
We had another one in college football over the weekend, and we can wrap up with that. Now
I saw that
may
that
or may
Friday,
not
didn't
tie
it?
Into tomorrow.
Didn't
I don't
it happen
know.
Friday?
It happened on Friday, and asked the question.
Why are we framing this as a 6-year extension when it's really only 2 added on years?
Yeah, we need to.
It's very odd how they do that.
Provide the context. Is it the right call, though? Because sometimes this ages terribly, and I think Nebraska might be an example of that this year. Time will tell. We'll wrap up the show on a Monday. We'll do it next on The Fam. All right, last one for us on a Monday. If you missed any of the show, you can go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com. At 1051 The Fan on Twitter. We'll tweet it out. The Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, we're up everywhere. You can also rewind on YouTube and listen back to the show if you want to go that route. And make sure you like and subscribe to the channel if you have not done so yet.
Had to go get a chainsaw blade this weekend because we were trying to chainsaw the roots because the auger was not getting through it.
Not an easy thing to do.
And it was the end of our Friday, exhausted, I'm sore, and I walk into one of these supply stores, and I met a great listener.
Did you?
Yeah. I couldn't have asked him dumber questions. I was like, he's like, hey. And I was like, hey.
Hey.
And then I had to be like, where's, and then I read it. I wasn't reading it right. It was very confusing.
Yeah.
I was like, great. Glad you could meet me, and I can look like an idiot.
Look like a jackass who doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. Can you help me out here with some manly tools? I had that. We were at the park on Saturday. I took the kiddo, let him go run around. There's a lot of stuff going on. I'm like, yeah, let's just get about. And I'm standing by the big red slide. And somebody, are you Andy Dirt Johnson? You bet your ass I am, buddy. Thanks for listening, man.
You responded with bet your ass I am.
Bet your ass I am in front of a bunch of little toddlers running around. He was such a P1 that he was listening to Sports Saturday on his way over.
Wow.
To come to the park on
That's
Saturday.
That's a fan P1
That
if
is
I've
a
ever
fan
heard.
P1. So I always love seeing
the delightful pipes of Joe Fisher and Rashad Taylor.
He said they were talking about chess, and then I thought, well, I got follow-ups now.
Chess?
Did you say chess? Was that two S's, or was there a T in there? And he said, no, they were talking about chess and then pivoted to football. Hmm. I said, that's okay. That's a remarkable transition if you can pull that bad boy off.
Are you good at chess?
No, horrible. Hmm.
Swag looks like he'd be good at chess.
I don't
chess.
Know all the – I don't play enough to know, like, who can go sideways, forward, backwards.
Oh, really? You don't even know the pieces and what they could do?
Not really, no.
The horsies are the L shapes.
Yeah, okay.
The bishops are the diagonals.
The queen can go everywhere, right?
Queen can do anything.
Queen can do anything she wants.
The king can only move a spot.
Only one at a time.
The castles go up and down or side to side.
Those would be rooks.
Yeah, rooks.
The castles. I'm
trying to help him explain. If I said rooks, you think he'd know?
The rookies? Is it rookie minicamp?
No, you think if I said rooks, he'd go, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, nice. The rooks. Bishops. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You would jump in there.
Knights go in L-shapes.
Yeah. Lake Oswego.
Pawns can only move one, but one of them can move two. And that's
you play
it.
A lot of chess, Swag?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd
some.
I beat him.
We now need this. This needs to be the new
I can
challenge.
Hear it in the tone.
We're never going to get the Danny Meringue versus Joe Fisher golf round because we're a bunch of cowards in this building,
yep.
And we like to say things and then never back it up.
To be fair, that was a only one side thing. Joe Fish showed up.
Totally fair.
Yeah.
I now need this. We need to live stream this on YouTube.
I'm
Swag versus
Spring. I'm not live streaming chess. I'll play you. I'm not live streaming chess.
This needs to be live streamed.
What okay. a boring
all
video.
Commentary. I'll stand behind the camera commentary, play by play. He just moved his castle. Oh, my God. What's Swag going to do?
Stop.
You mean a rook? It's a rook. Rook, you idiot. The Nebraska conversation got me thinking of this. So last year there was the threat of Matt Rhule going to Penn State. Remember when that was a thing? And it was this idea of, well, the AD knows Matt Rhule. Matt Rhule knows the AD. They're good buddies. Uh-oh. And Nebraska at the moment was having an okay start to the year. Everything crumbled to the back half of the year for them. And they did the panic move that you never want to do as a program. They gave Matt Rhule a massive contract extension. And if it doesn't work out, it's going to cost you money that you can't afford because you're crying poor about the payment of your roster in order to fire him. So it's just not going to happen. We had an extension handed out on Friday. And this is a tough – I see both sides of this coin because a year ago we were talking about how much pressure's on him. He makes the college football playoff, mm-hmm. although they lost their first game, so they didn't win a playoff game. But Oklahoma gave Brent Venables a 2-year contract extension. So he was already under, he had a 4-year deal or whatever. Now he's got 2 more years on top of it. So he is tied to the program until the 2031 season. The deal averages about $10.5 million per year. So it's like a total 6-year, $63 million deal-ish. Brent Venables, are we in on a 2-year extension if we're an Oklahoma fan?
So do we have details on the buyout?
I mean, the buyout's usually the majority, whatever is remaining on.
Well, not all the time.
That is true.
But sometimes you get that.
Do we think the schools have much leverage here? I don't think if you're giving it, maybe. Maybe he said, I'm not going anywhere if you want to buy me out.
Well, it's a school he loves, so you get maybe that little, like, kind of sweetheart of a deal.
He's an alma mater guy, right? Didn't he play at Oklahoma, I think?
He's a big Oklahoma guy. That's why he finally left Swinney. But I'm fine with it because I actually think they're going to get back to the playoff this year. They're one of my playoff teams. Mm-hmm. I know we haven't released all of our 12. I know you didn't do the group of 6. Sorry to spoil that, but we're already past 10. I think it'd be shocking if you had any of those teams.
I got James Madison at number 4. Stay tuned. Hawaii's coming in hot and heavy at number 7.
The next Cignetti, Chesney, whoever that is, just assume James Madison hired the guy. Yeah. I think Oklahoma's going to be a playoff team, and if I tell you that, you're feeling good about it.
Feel great about it.
Right? I don't know if you think they're going to win a national championship with Brent Venables.
I just always wonder, like, why? What was the impetus for this?
Well, I think it goes back to our conversation earlier with Jerome Jordan. Kalani Sitake is quite literally as BYU as you can possibly get. He was on Lavelle Edwards' team. He's teammates with Sook. Like, that dude wanted that job more than anything else in life. He got it, started winning, and then Penn State, of all the places, called and said, we want you.
Yeah, and he was gone.
And he was gone.
Yeah.
Now, we should say not 100% because 100% means you were gone.
Yes.
He was 99% gone, according to Jerome Jordan. He was looking at houses with his coaching staffs in Penn State, and they got him on the horn, talked to him, promised him everything, and got him to come back. Just because that's your place doesn't mean that's your place. See Jonathan Smith as well. So,
how many places are if you offer the Oklahoma coach, now the easy retort is it literally just happened 4 or 5 years ago because Lincoln Riley was the guy and he left for USC.
Yeah, it's how just many, about who they are.
How many programs are bigger than Oklahoma?
In college?
Like, to get offered at that place, and you're like, oh, I got to go to... Because I could at least see...
Texas.
The Penn State-BYU thing I get. You're in an inferior conference.
Not to put salt in the wound, but Texas.
Yeah, it's a bigger job than
Ohio
Oklahoma.
State.
That's fair. Ohio State, yep.
Michigan.
Okay. You go Georgia, Bama, probably LSU.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that trio.
Yeah. Florida, maybe.
Florida?
Maybe,
Florida,
yeah.
Is that a better job? Splitting hairs? I don't know who's got more money behind the scenes. It's a hard one.
I think
one.
A lot of it's who you are.
And yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who's
the
more
The point
funded.
Is simply being, like, you're 100% spot on.
You're in the top whatever of college football as a job, though.
Right, and you're in one of the 2 power conferences. You're making all this money. You got boosters. Like, that's just the thing that makes me chuckle sometimes with these extensions of, like, it just comes out of nowhere. And you're right. It's probably just, let's get out in front of it in case it happens. But, like, he already had 4 years left on his deal.
I tend to agree with
making
you.
Making $10 million a year.
Yeah.
It's not an expiring. This isn't like LaFleur in Green Bay. He's got 1 more year left and he's bouncing. Like,
I tend to agree with you.
It's just, yeah. Funny how it works out. But they gave him an extension. I'm with you. I think they'll be a playoff team. Stay tuned tomorrow. You might hear some more Oklahoma content. Dirty tease. If you missed it, we did do BYU. They were number 10 in the preseason dirty poll. So if you want to hear about the Cougars, you can go find that at anywhere you get your podcast. We'll tweet it out here as soon as we are done. Thank you so much, everybody, for being a part of our Monday. It was a fun little show. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The firm of Harrison Meringue is next. You are listening to 105.1 FM The Fam.